The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's all brought to you by Kelly Bidlin, everybody, producer number 9. So much more than a producer. It's Gil Alexander. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty well. It is pretty costly to pay everybody that we have on Friday. You know, it comes straight out of my pocket. Brought to you by me.
Yeah. Here you will. You sponsor the show. Thanks. Yep. Appreciate it. We got Savannah back there. We got Darnell back there.
We got Darnell. Brendan. We got Cam. Brendan is working remotely today. He's a little under the weather. Feel better, Brendan.
Sean McCollum is always working remotely on this show, even though he might not be.
That's right. Right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Brian Ortega will come in about an hour.
And say things in our ear that we don't want said in our ear. It's going to be awesome. That's our crew, by the way, every day. Right. This doesn't happen without them.
That's a great job.
On the show today, it is a Friday. You know what that means. Oh, it's good. It's real good. Felica and Fezzik, hour number 2. Let's start there. Felica wants to talk about, he has bets in not one, not two, not three, not four, count them, 5 sports.
Mm-hmm.
I would list them, but I'm sure I'll forget one. So let me try. Soccer, horse racing, college basketball, tennis, and baseball.
Yes. Did you say soccer?
I did.
Yeah. You're good then. You got them all.
5 from Chris. And then Fezzik, to say that he has 75 topics to talk about might be shortchanging it.
Yeah, to say he sent 49 of them in at 3 o'clock this morning.
He did. Yeah. So, like, yes. Well, we'll try to get to all of them.
Hope you rested up, Steve.
Yeah. If crack is unscripted, Fezzik is somewhat scripted, at least with an outline.
Oh, I love it. As a producer, you know, all the guests did incredible homework today, Gil. They all got their bets to me, topics to me. It makes it very, very easy.
Yeah, the bane of Kelly's existence is when I'm like, I don't know. We'll just figure it out. We'll get there. We'll see what happens. The famous Isaiah thing where I'm like, oh, Roxy's here. We're just going to stop everything and put Roxy on air. He's like, no, we can. I was like, yes, we can. This hour, Jordan Sherwood on UFC 313. Looking forward to that. It is 313, mm-hmm. Right? I didn't get that wrong. Jason Weingarten as well on the show. And we're going to do some NFL next team odds. Let's do that as well for a couple players in the National Football League. Not among the couple players. Trey Hendrickson, by the way, who the Bengals have said, hey, go ahead and find a team.
Yep, so I'll report your Commanders are interested, as they should be.
As they should be. It's called cap space, ladies and gentlemen. Use it.
I mean, him and Myles Garrett, right? Like, this is, like, they both might not work out, but your Commanders are perfectly positioned to make a run after each.
Like I said, with all of these, as Debo, whether it's Trey Hendrickson or whomever, I'm braced for the news that comes right after that, where the Philadelphia Eagles magically acquire Myles Garrett. I'm worried about that. Okay, tennis yesterday, a second consecutive 1-2 day to start Indian Wells. That is not ideal. 1-2 is not ideal. It's also not the end of the world.
Did Maya Joint get through at least?
No, she's the big.
No!
She was the big loser. She was the one. I mean, she got crushed in the first set, and then she made something of it in the second set, but she didn't get there. The one where it turned on was the very first one, which is we should have been 2-1. The one that me and Zach were oppo on. So I'm going to say I'm up, right? But my guy, Bonzi, is up 4-3. He's up 4-3, 40 love in the third set, and he gacks the game. Then at 5-5, he has how many sports did Felica have bets in? He had 5 breakpoint opportunities, 5, squandered them all. And good for Zach, Jensen Brooksby gets home. So that was the difference between a winning game. Tennis happened. It's the difference between a winning day and a losing day.
Right, Jensen Brooksby needs every break in life he can. Okay?
Jensen Brooksby was like, I heard what you said about me on the show today. The winner was Kimberly Burrell. She got there. Today it's 4 plays at Indian Wells. It's been windy there, by the way. Tomorrow's supposed to be glorious.
It's been windy here.
Yeah. Oh, yes, it has. Is there anything worse? Is there a worse weather element? I mean, a common one, obviously, don't make up something rare. But is there a worse common weather element than wind? Oh, my God.
Probably not. It's also just bizarre out here, especially when you move from South Florida, where it's like there's no rain or anything with it. It's just wind.
I'm just telling you, where if you stay at the Aria, right, when it's windy, and you try to walk in the U between the Waldorf, the Aria, and Veer, if you weigh less than 130 pounds, you will be blown into the strip. That the wind tunnel that is created there.
It's crazy.
Here are the 4 tennis plays today. 1 on the ladies' side, 3 on the men's. On the ladies' side, D.C.-born Haley Baptiste is the play against Danielle freaking Collins. Plus 136 on Baptiste. She's about plus 131 now, so not quite as good, but playable. Collins hasn't played since the Australian Open. She's kind of been mailing it in. She was kind of getting a paycheck there. She was supposed to be retired by now, right?
Yeah.
But she decided.
Yeah, what happened with that?
She's like, I like this too much. I'm going to collect money.
Good call.
Yeah. So this is kind of her money collecting tour. Anyway, she's never done really well here at this tournament. And Baptiste has the numbers to beat her. Collins could, you know, look, Collins show up and be the best of Danielle freaking Collins, of course. But I like the play at plus 136. Baptiste should not be that big of a dog. On the men's side, three plays, one of which is a big dog. Colton Smith out of the University of Arizona. Colton Smith plus 207 against Alex Mickelson. Alex Mickelson prefers a faster hard court. And Colton Smith has been doing really well on the Challenger Tour. And what I'm talking about, this is one of these guys where he has had some modest success here. Just he obviously had an upset in the first round. But he's got the numbers that could forge this upset. Plus 207 versus Alex Mickelson. Again, that's in the plus 190s right now. Still very playable. Lorenzo Musetti, the Italian, plus 114 versus Roman Safiyin. Musetti is right around, I mean, again, we have a little bit of a better price on all on the first three of these. Musetti is a clay courter. This, remember, is a slow hard court, though. So this is the conditions that would author the upset here. And I believe his health is better here. Conflicting reports on that. But I believe from what I've heard that he's good to go here. So Musetti at plus 114. And then the one where my number is worse than what you can get at least when I checked it before the show. Zizou Bergs, I got at minus 115. He's lower than that now, minus 103 or something like that against Alexei Popyrin. Popyrin had a stretch where he was a great hardcourt player. That's last year. He's, I think, 1-4 or 1-5, something like that, in the early going this year. Bergs is number superior. Bergs pick number 4. So Baptiste on the ladies' side, Colton Smith, Musetti, and Bergs on the men's side.
Zizou Bergs. That's a good name.
Zizou Bidlin.
That's a solid name right there.
You should name your kid Zizou when you have one.
I might just do that.
Yeah.
When I have one.
when someone teaches you how to do that.
When I can keep a plan alive, I'll let you know, Gil.
There's also some slam tennis props you wanted to get to, which I'm always down to talk a little tennis here before we launch into college hoops and stuff. By the way, college hoops. I mean, are you kidding me? How great is this time of year? Today in college hoops, by the way, just today alone. With all these, there's obviously non-conference games as well, non-conference tournament games, I should say. But today, God, you got double-digit worth of conference. Well, today's it's in this first week. It's, you know, some of these tournaments are choppy. By the way, Queens, we should mention Will Hill's long shot to win their conference tournament came up short yesterday in the Atlantic Sun. It's going to be North Alabama and Lipscomb on Sunday. He had Queens at 6-1. They had a 10-point lead with 6 minutes left yesterday. And then in overtime had a shot to tie it, and the dude went like too far under the rim and hit the bottom side of the rim, and they end up losing. Ugh. So people, it's a results-oriented business, but the margins of how you hit these or don't hit these are always, you know, razor thin. So a good run for him, but it didn't work out. But today, so many intact. Yeah, fourth day of 7 straight days in the Sun Belt Conference. Quarters today in the Big South, semis today in the Ohio Valley, quarters in the Summit today, quarters in the Missouri Valley today, second day of 6 straight in the West Coast Conference. Southern begins today, on and on and on. So can't wait for all those. The tennis plays, by the way, the tennis slam plays. So these are specials. You will find these in multiple, I think more and more sports books have these up now. It's not like a stray one, but like
yeah, that's a good
few,
point.
A few of them have these.
I didn't shop around big time. They weren't up at DraftKings. Caesars had them.
Caesars got them. Odds to win a Grand Slam this year. We touched a little bit about this yesterday, but specifically about Carlitos and Iga. And my comment was, yeah, Iga should be minus 250. We did it in Are We Sure? Are We Sure that she should be minus 250? And the answer is yes, because she's minus 175 in the French alone, having won 4 of those. So yes, she should be. Should Carlitos be? Oh, so now this is odds to win a Grand Slam. You have Carlos Alcaraz at minus 250 here. I would not play that because Yannick Sinner exists. He is on suspension right now, but he will be back by the time the French Open happens. Is there a play on the men's side there?
Joker felt too short, right? Like, I know it's Djokovic, but wouldn't you rather just, like, I'd almost rather just skip him in the French and then bet him outright prices Wimbledon, U.S. Open.
If you forced me to play one on the men's side there, it'd probably be Sasha Zverev at 3-1. Probably. Just because if things break right in a particular tournament, and all he had to do was win one big match, 3-1, but that's still not a play.
Yeah.
Still not sexy enough.
Yeah.
The play is on the lady side. You know where I'm going with this? Guess. Boop, boop, beep, beep, beep.
Either boop, boop. Sabalenka or Rybakina.
No. Jesse Pegula, 9-1. Give me that number.
Okay.
Jesse Pegula, 9-1. She peaked at the, not peaked, I mean, she's still in her prime years. She was the number 3 player in the world. I think she's currently the number 4 player in the world. Just came off a win in Austin. Remember, she got to the finals in the U.S. Open last year. Have we mentioned at all that she's a billionaire for $7.5 billion fortune?
Whoa, seriously?
Yeah, I think we haven't mentioned that before. Jesse Pegula, 9-1. That, you just play that number. Got to play it. No, she's not the favorite of the French. I get it. But
she won't be the favorite anywhere, right?
She won't be the favorite anywhere, but here's the thing with her. Like, she is mentally steely. She won't, like, if she's going to be bounced out of a tournament, it's not because something happened between her ears. Which, by the way, I would say Iga has more happening between her ears than Jesse Pegula does, even. So I would say Jesse at 9-1 is the play.
Most likely to win in what order? U.S. Open, Wimbledon, French?
Correct.
Okay.
Of the ones coming up this year, yes. Correct. You are. Okay, we'll come back. We will talk UFC 313 with Jordan Sherwood. Before that, though, some basketball talk. The Warriors continue to win. The Lakers continue to win. Which of those is the more sustainable? Which is more unsustainable? We'll talk about that. Probably ask Kelly once again. Give him a third shot at this. If it's not the Thunder that wins the West, who will it be? We'll get into all that, NBA and more. Plus UFC, plus Fezzik and Felica. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
EdgeBoost, the first ever bank account built for bettors, ensuring all gambling transactions are approved. No usage fees, no minimums. Earn cashback rewards. 100% approval for all betting deposits. Sign up today at edgeboost.bet. With promo code ANG.
ANG as an A numbers game.
Deposit $25 and Edge Boost will match the deposit. That's edgeboost.bet. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciated. Ryan Hyatt, shadow producer for Primetime Action back in the day, our buddy. He says, you know, it's going to be a great Friday on a numbers game with Gil Kelly when we have a Sweat Hogs reference in the first 20 minutes. Well done, ANG Twitter folks. Was there a Sweat Hogs reference? I missed it. A welcome back, Connor reference. Charles in Connecticut, Hoop Homer. Is it one of these multicolored Bic pens? I'll take it. I use those to help color code my betting research. Talking about how in music radio, no matter what we gave away for free, including a Bic pen, people go crazy. Chris, oh,
those pens are legendary.
Those pens
I love
awesome.
Those. I love those for years.
Change the color. That was high tech when I was.
It
a
really
kid.
Was. Yeah.
Chris Heath, can't win if you don't call. I've won tickets to Martin via Chewy Gomez at 106 KML and Sharks playoff tickets, plus Grateful Dead Metallica from 95.7 The Game. That's my buddy. Chewy.
Yeah, I love it.
Jason H11 also chimes in. What free agent receiver would want to go to the Giants given their quarterback or lack thereof situation? Oh, and you'll be second fiddle to second year neighbors who's on a rookie deal. Listen, I say this, the biggest thing about Jaden Daniels with the Commanders is now people want to come there. It's like it's night and day. You couldn't attract anybody before that.
Okay, sure. You're totally right. I'll answer the Giants side of it because we've been talking about it all week. It's the if you just want money and you don't really care about any of the rest of it, then the Giants might be interested in you because, again, we're dealing with a GM and a coach that are just looking after themselves and trying to save their jobs.
The Giants saving their jobs thing is definitely a thing.
Right.
That front office.
So, like, again, does Davante Adams make a splash? Yeah, that name makes a splash.
Jay Salter, DK to the Dolphins in a trade. What are those odds? They're tired of Tyreek. And Jeff Cam Gill, loved your comment on the Cul-de-sac Boys Club. Best 2 days, Thursday, Friday on Gambling TV. Crackman to Fezzik. Thank you. And thank you to Crackman and Fezzik. Let's talk some UFC 313. Jordan Sherwood joins us now, ladies and gentlemen. We always love hearing from Jordan. Wood on 1000 on the old Twitter machine. What is it? Wood on ESPN 1000? Is that correct? Yes.
That's right.
I left out the ESPN, God forbid. All right. We're in Vegas this weekend. The main event, Alex Pereira, Magomed Ankalaev, the classic styles make fights, right?
100%. I mean, Alex Pereira is the most prolific striker we've seen. I mean, he's got highlight reel after highlight reel. And I'll say this, and it's probably a factor for, you know, when you're handicapping a fight and considering the public money. Like, Alex Pereira is the biggest star in the UFC, period. He has reached levels now where Conor McGregor-esque, Anderson Silva, John Jones-esque, where when he fights, people care. So a lot of people will be tuning into this fight. They're going to be thinking about his highlights. And look, he's a fantastic fighter. What he's accomplished over a short period of time is phenomenal. This is his toughest challenge to date in Magomed Ankalaev. Many consider him to be the uncrowned light heavyweight champion of the world, a guy that's got outstanding wrestling, yet we've never seen it because he could strike with the best of them. And there's worrisome about Pereira's ability to handle if Magomed Ankalaev comes with a heavy takedown approach, which he likely will because that needs to be tested. If this fight is contested on the feet, Gale, like, Alex Pereira should win the fight. He'll land some leg kicks, and Magomed Ankalaev will struggle with that. But if this, and it is a mixed martial arts fight, we're going to see some takedowns. As much as it pains me, because I love Pereira, the play has to be on Magomed Ankalaev. He has more ways to win this fight, and I think that he's going to fight intelligently and look for those takedowns, look to exploit, or at least challenge the unproven ground game of Alex Pereira.
Let me ask you a sort of just off the cuff question here. If the book is known on Pereira, right? Like, okay, the way you should fight him is to try to grapple with him, right? Why is it that his opponents never seem to do that? What's the Jedi mind trick there?
Well, I mean, for starters, his last three or four opponents, you know, Jamal Hill, Israel Adesanya, Yuri Prochazka, Khalil Rountree, not grapplers. Like, they're strikers. They're guys that are comfortable also on the feet. So that's the way that they're going to look to have an advantage. Magomed Ankalaev is not that. He is a guy that comes from a Dagestani background and has the ability to take it down. And Pereira came from that kickboxing background. So that's why you have to challenge it. Now, you do have to remember, he is under the tutelage of Glover Teixeira. Pereira is a black belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu, and he has shown improvement when fights have gone to the ground. But nonetheless, I think that, look, the public money is going to be on Pereira. The fun money is going to be on Pereira, but the smart play, in my opinion, is Magomed Ankalaev, because he's got more ways to win this fight.
I hear you on that. When they fought the first time, Ankalaev was minus 200. Why the huge? I mean, is it just enough to say the public loves Pereira to give that drastic of a line move?
Yeah, and I also think Magomed Ankalaev, you know, has went to decision against Alexander Rochik. He had a pretty boring fight against Jan Blachowicz for an interim light heavyweight championship opportunity. So it's just he has had underwhelming performances. And against and Pereira, a guy, two divisional champion. And keep in mind, Gil, as I mentioned, like, he wins this fight, he's probably fighting John Jones for the heavyweight title next and has a chance to do something that's never been done, win a belt in three different weight classes.
John Jones, wow. Still lurking. Co-main, Rafael Fiziev, Justin Gaethje. When they fought in 2023, Fiziev was a minus 230 favorite. He got housed. Technical term, Kelly. He's still a favorite here. Not quite as high, though. Minus 162, but still not negligible of a favorite. That's interesting.
Yeah, I'm kind of shocked by these odds, because this is a short notice fight. You know, Justin Gaethje was supposed to fight Dan Hooker. Dan Hooker had a hand injury. Fiziev comes in after about a year and a half layoff. He had a leg injury that prevented him from competing. And, you know, he comes in under 2 weeks and is a pretty heavy favorite against Justin Gaethje. And I think the reason for that also is because Justin Gaethje's last fight, the brutal knockout at UFC 300 at the hands of Max Holloway. Like, we've seen knockouts before. That was a brutal one. Like, he was out cold for quite some time. And that's what Justin Gaethje is known for. He's known for firefights. He's known for walking through to you know, taking one to land two. He's going to get that fight against Rafael Fiziev. And I think the lateral movement that Fiziev has, the striking that he has, we're not going to see wrestling by either fighter. So I think at that price point right now, despite the layoff, despite the concern maybe about lateral movement for Fiziev with the knee injury, I still like him at that price. If it goes any higher, I'm not playing it. But I think Fiziev's going to win the fight. Justin Gaethje's has been too many wars. I think he's on his way down, and it's a winnable fight for Fiziev, especially at that price.
All right, so Fiziev is an official play from you. Ankalaev, yes. Was not an official play?
No, but it's my recommendation as much as it pains me. But wait for maybe more money to come in on Pereira, and then Ankalaev might be a plus money come fight night on Saturday night.
All right, where else you want to go? Obviously, Jalen Turner and Ignacio Bahamondes is a big one right before those two.
Yeah, I've described this one as like two ships passing through the night. I think Jalen Turner's on his way down. You'll like this guy, Gil, though. He's known as the tarantula because he had an arachnophobia. So he bought himself like a dozen tarantulas.
What? And stop
got
it.
And got over his fear.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. So, and he, look, he's a thumper, long rangy fighter for the lightweight division, has made some mental mistakes. You know, he tried to have a walk-off KO against Hanato Moicano, and didn't get the walk-off KO and then ended up losing the fight. And Bahamondes, I think, has better boxing. He could work in grappling and also just like height, weight, length wise, like they match up the same. Jalen Turner typically has a size advantage. He won against Bahamondes. Bahamondes also training out of Chicago with Bilal Muhammad, the welterweight champion of the world. So I like Bahamondes on this fight, and that is an official play for me on the money line. I think he's on his way up, and Jalen Turner likely on his way down.
I love it. Arachnophobia. I am not thrilled with heights, but my instinct is not to go skydiving. You know what I mean?
Oh, no, yeah. I am same thing with you, and you will not catch me skydiving anytime soon.
Okay.
Actually, bungee jumping sounds even worse.
Oh, forget it. People still do that?
I don't know. Good point.
Sorry,
Jordan. Remember that die in the 90s?
Sorry, Jordan. We had to have an aside there for a second. Apologize. Preliminary cards. What do you got? What do you like best?
Yeah, I mean, Carlos Leo, big favorite on this card against Alex Morano. Who's, you know, veteran, but he just hasn't looked great as of late. He's been stopped a couple of times in his last fight. Leal is coming from that Fight Nerds camp that's getting a lot of hype right now, a lot of steam, and he's got some knockout power. So I do think Leal's going to probably get the knockout and the finish, but there is also somewhat of me that Moreno could work in some grappling, get some takedowns, and get a stoppage. So I'm just going to play the under at 2.5. But Leal, heavy favorite. He's likely going to get his hand raised, but just to, you know, kind of hedge a little bit, I do think there's a finish. This one's not going to the judges' scorecards.
All right. Ignacio Bahamondes, minus 125. That's right before the co-main and the main. Rafael Fiziev, minus 162 in the co-main. No official, but leaning towards Ankalaev in the main event. And then Alex Morano, Carlos Leal, Miranda under 2.5. By the way, nothing on the Amanda Lemos Yasmin Lucindo fight. Nothing there.
I think Amanda Lemos is a former title challenger. She's been in there with better competition. Lucindo maybe on her way up, but I think Lemos' gamesmanship, despite the 12-year age gap, maybe a small play on Lemos as the dog. I think she's just been in there better competition. Lucindo has to prove it to me that she's up near the top of that division before I say okay, she's officially there.
Jordan, always a pleasure, man. Thank you so much.
All right, guys.
Jordan Sherwood, everybody, on UFC 313. Check out all his stuff once again. Wood on ESPN 1000. Jason Weingarten on the other side.
The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two, a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, Sirius XM channel 158. Gil Alexander, Kelly Billen alongside Steve Fezzik standing by to join us in studio for a few segments, talk all things sports betting, an array of topics. But first, as is always the case, the second hour on Fridays, we bring in our buddy from Fox Sports. You know him as the Bear, El Oso. It's Chris Felica, everybody, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, to bet, or not to, to reveal his bets, I should say, on five different sports. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well, and I thought about making a sixth with you, but I didn't have a play on what I'm just going to dub as the Todd Wright prop on FanDuel. Like, will the Stanley Cup champion come from the United States or Canada?
Yes.
So next time you have either Jay Hahn or Andy McNeil or Todd on, you can see if they get their opinions on that FanDuel prop, Cup champion, U.S. or Canada.
I forgot to tell Todd about this prop. Todd, he's always, every year behind the scenes, he's like, a team from Canada will not win the Stanley Cup, and now there's an actual prop for it. Before we launch into your picks, the both of us have a documentary recommendation for folks. It's not a documentary. It's a, what would you call it? I guess it is a documentary technically.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's on Netflix. It's called Sweet Bobby. If you like a good catfish story, and I mean a good one, that is the documentary for you.
Puts Manteo Teo to shame.
It does. It really does. Oh my God. Sweet Bobby is your documentary recommendation. All right. Where do you want to start? Tennis? Let's start with tennis.
Yeah, well, you just start with tennis because I don't know. They may take these numbers down quickly before the matches get underway today. But it's just a simple Aryna Sabalenka to win the quarter out there. She's minus 120. I know she has, but Jasmine Paolini, I think, in her draw. Alex Randrova, who beat her in the Middle East a couple of weeks ago. But Sabalenka has been very outspoken, as Iga was, about how just not feeling comfortable playing in the Middle East, whether it's the times, whatever it might be, the surface, indoor. And I think getting back out to Indian Wells in a hard court, in an outdoor hard court setting, I think that'll treat her well. And like I said, I know she's got some people in that draw that maybe look imposing, but I don't think she'll have any trouble in winning that quarter. So it's the only bet I've actually made in Indian Wells in terms of the future.
Yeah, she got the best of it with her draw, no question about that. Kessler is her second round opponent. And then otherwise in that, as you mentioned, Paolini, Leila Fernandez, Kasatkina, Alexandrova, Kudermetova, not the hardest quarter for sure. Let's go to college hoops. You got a trio of plays.
Yeah, Illinois State, which I think now they're getting one. I was a pick when I sent the info to you and Kelly, but Illinois State against Belmont, it's a 4-5 game in the Missouri Valley. Illinois State, a lot of times you see in these conference tournaments, like the higher seed that maybe doesn't play a game earlier, maybe they start a little bit slow. Saw it a couple of times last night, but Illinois State got their legs under them. They started slow yesterday against bad Southwest Missouri State team and just roared back and won easily. They're a good shooting team. First game was a close game that I think they beat Belmont by three in the regular season. But I like this Illinois State team is very capable of hitting some threes, knocking down some shots, and going up and down the court with Belmont. So I like the Redbirds certainly getting a point now in the Missouri Valley. The Boise State Colorado State game, it looks like it might have moved a little bit since I sent it to you and Kelly. I sent Boise -5.5 against CSU. It looks like it's 6 or 6.5 now. I still like it. There's seeding at play here. Home court, I think, really matters a lot in the Mountain West. These two teams played a really good game in Fort Collins earlier this year. CSU got up big, and then Boise came roaring back, and CSU actually needed a late shot to win. But I know CSU kind of has an outside chance, like tying for the conference title, but that's assuming that New Mexico loses at the Pitt to UNLV, which I don't think is going to happen. But Boise's a really good team at home, blew out Utah State a couple of weeks ago. So I like the Broncos, -6 or -6.5 now, whatever it might be.
Our guy Tyson Degenhart still playing college basketball there at Boise State.
Yeah, I was going to say, probably go to the line about 18 times again tonight. Which is what he does best. And again, that spread is kind of in that foul zone as well, where they could be up 3 or 4 late and the fouls are coming and they wind up winning by 8 or 9. So I have no trouble laying the number there. And I laid the 8.5 with VCU. I think Dayton is one of the more overrated teams in the country. I think we still have this fixation, maybe, or maybe it's just me who has this fixation, like thinking back to like that 2020 Dayton team, like, this is the type of team that they are. And then you look up every week and they're struggling with St. Louis. They're in an overtime game with a bad Richmond team. I think VCU comes out tonight and absolutely blows Dayton off the floor.
Follow up, Illinois State 10-1 to win the Missouri Valley. You are not interested in that still as we're in the quarters.
I don't know. Are they going to be able to beat Bradley and Drake? I mean, that's the thing. Like, it was funny. I think it was Will that brought it up. Like, Will Hill, who would like, I'd love a yes, no on Drake to win the Missouri Valley Conference. And he had those great numbers behind it as well. I don't know if I can get behind 10-1 just to win that. You're going to have to beat Belmont, and then you're going to have to beat Drake. And then you're probably going to have to most likely beat Bradley.
And would you, again, we don't know the brackets, obviously, with March Madness, but VCU feels like one of those teams that you might possibly consider a to make Final Four bet on, that kind of thing.
I did, yeah. I bet them at 60-1 to make the Final Four.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Just totally on the blind. I think they're still out there at like 50-1, but I found it 60 and better. Yeah, I think they're going to be on that 10 or 11 line, and I think they're going to be a really dangerous team for a 6 and then a 3 or a 2 in that second round.
All right, to baseball. You got 3 there, season long.
Yeah, I did. I bet I'm going to steal this from Will. Aggregate it
there
from our good friend Will Hill. And bet the Dodgers. He brought this up on the podcast yesterday that we posted. The Dodgers are -165 to be the number one seed in the National League. And it's kind of like, if it's not them, who is it going to be? If you don't like going win total over what 103.5 or 104.5 or whatever it might be, this is kind of a different way to play it. Like the NL East, you got the Phillies and the Mets and the Braves are all kind of good teams. I don't think any of them are going to win like 100 games. I guess the Nats are seen to be better. The Marlins are bad. The Central, I don't think you have a threat to be a number one seed. Like the Dodgers won however many games they won last year, and they had a million injuries, and they brought in reinforcements all over the place this year. So I know maybe you don't want to tie up money until October, but like the Dodgers minus 165 to be the number one seed. Like, I don't really know how they're not.
Yeah, I guess the Phillies and Braves would be the biggest contenders for that, but I understand the point for sure.
Yeah. And then I threw a couple of darts on some strikeout leaders in the majors. I bet Cole Reagan's at 22-1. He had 223 last year, which was fifth, which was just five behind Tarek Skubal. He actually had a slightly higher K per nine rate than Skubal, and that was his first complete year in the bigs. I think if he could take a step forward this year, he's got the benefit of being in that AL Central where you got Cleveland and Detroit, and then obviously however many games against the White Sox. I mean, he was one of the bigger prospects in baseball and a big centerpiece of a trade with the Rangers. So if he takes a step forward, he certainly could challenge for the league lead again and maybe even a Cy Young. And then I even threw a bigger dart. I threw an 80-1 shot on Tanner Bibee of Cleveland to lead a league in K's again. He had some trouble at times working deep into games. A lot of times he was pulled in the fifth or so, high pitch count. But again, he was close to 10 strikeouts per nine innings. He was second to Gunnar Henderson in Rookie of the Year a couple of years ago. So he is highly thought of again as well. And just like Reagan's, plays in a division with the White Sox and an Indians lineup that's probably going to strike at. Maybe a Tigers lineup that maybe who the heck knows. So just throw a dart. You don't always, you don't expect to win an 80-1 shot, but a couple of bucks never hurt.
No, I respect the thinking. Tanner Bibee, who finished 17th, but again, with 187 strikeouts last year, but again, with only 173 and two-third innings pitched. To soccer, sir.
I got three team total unders for Saturday, tomorrow. I got Luton under a half a goal, minus 110 at Burnley. Burnley finally allowed a goal this week. So J.J. Watt will not be coming back to play with the Bengals. For those of you who are unfamiliar with that story, J.J. Watt is part owner of Burnley, and he said, if we don't allow a goal in league play the rest of the year, I'm going to come back and play for the Bengals. They did allow a goal, but now they face Luton at home. I think they've allowed four goals at home all year. Should be a complete mismatch. Then we're going to go down to League One and play Northampton under a half a goal, a little bit of plus money at Leighton Orient. Leighton Orient is another deliberate team, play a lot of low-scoring games. Northampton, not a very high-scoring team, should be kind of a sleepwalking-type match. And then I played Valladolid under a half a goal at Valencia. Valencia is in the midst of a relegation fight. Valladolid is one of the worst teams, or the worst team in La Liga. So I don't expect them to go on the road and do much as either. So we'll look for three clean sheets tomorrow there.
Nice job on Valladolid. Okay, horse racing, sport number five. Florida Oaks, Tampa Derby. Mm-hmm. We got a minute. Give us your thumbnail on these two.
Yeah, it shouldn't be too difficult here. The Florida Oaks, I don't have necessarily a horse that I want to land on, but I am totally against the favorite in this race, the 9-horse Nitrogen. Absolute bet against my suggestion. A horse that really, anytime you're a dead closer, you need everything to go right. I would look for a horse you like the most at the best price and play against Nitrogen. And then in the Tampa Derby, I like Chancellor McPatrick, who is the horse coming back. Chad Brown's big horse is coming back again. I don't know if he'll be fully cranked for this. I think the 7-horse, Patch Adams, who's 2-1 on the morning line, gets the jump, and Brad Cox is called. Patch Adams wins the Tampa Derby.
Patch Adams. Chris, appreciate it. That'll give us a lot to run through when we recap the G-Bank Best Bets later. Very
sure
thorough.
You don't have the Pioneer on at the end of the show, or else it doesn't take up that entire segment.
We got to get the Pioneer back on for college hoops. He loves conference tournaments.
What happened to all of his conference tournament subsets? We're going to have that next week.
He'll only reveal half of them, but sure, we'll get him on to reveal that half. Talking about Dr. Bob, of course. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
You got it, bud.
Steve Fezzik next in the house. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.